Father, we thank you for these words through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Thank you, Christ. Thank you, Father. Tonight our sharing is going to be on We Are Not Our Own. And the scripture that says that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the covenant. So what we're looking at, I think most churches today, and maybe for 1,000 years, I don't think there's the relationship of making a covenant where actually you are marrying Christ has ever really come to the point. It's more or less, you know, Christ has become a fire escape from hell. You know, here's a rope, climb up, and you don't go to hell. Instead of saying, are you willing to marry Christ? Which means, I'm going to, you know, if we're going to see, I'm going to put a ring on my finger to show I've got a covenant. So a ring on a finger means I have a covenant. I'm married. If it's on the left hand. Most Christians will take that ring off because it brings hardship. And so if they have any kind of relationship with Christ, they're not going to let people know that they're actually Christians. And by doing so, I can get along with people. They feel comfortable with me. But if I was in a place and I took my ring off when my wife wasn't around, what would that be telling you?
Yeah, married.
Yeah, I'm telling people I'm not married when I am. Right. All right, and that is... Most people realize...
So you can sin.
Yeah, so you can sin and not take the hardship. I can do some things I want to do. So we're going to look at what a covenant is and to look like if you want to be a Christian, if you want to, there's responsibility. You're going to enter into a covenant and the covenant's going to bind you on what you can and cannot do. So instead of saying, ask Jesus to come into your heart. There's no scripture whatsoever that says that. So at evangelical meetings, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Well, no. You're marrying Christ, which means you better really think about this. You know, I'm not going to marry somebody because of a night of excitement. No, you know, because this is binding for the rest of your life. Are you willing to do that? Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, we're going to see. Here's what is required of you. Do you want to enter into this covenant? Here's what he's going to do, what Yahweh is going to do, and then here's what you are absolutely required. Well, that's works. Yes, it is. That's called a covenant. So we begin in 1 Corinthians 6. Well, not that many people would come. Yes. That's it. And what they're actually doing is instead of making a covenant to obey what Yahweh has done and has said, you're actually making a proposition that's going to last a week, a month, 2 months, 6 months, and then it's over. It's not a binding agreement. It's not a covenant.
Would you mind repeating?
1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Now these are talking to believers who have entered into a covenant by making Christ, or Yahushua Mashiach, your master. Instead of Lord, your master. It means you are, what relationship are you to the master?
Servant or slave?
A servant.
Or slave.
A servant. Well, that means you're going to serve who? The master. And how do I serve the master? As I do what the master says. That's the covenant. The master says, if you do this, you know, you'll get to live forever, and I will be your guardian, and I will protect you, and I will enrich you. But guess what? The world doesn't like godliness. And so what does that mean? When they know that you're one of mine, you're going to be treated like I was. Well, I don't want that. See, but that's a warning.
Yeah.
Right? That comes with the territory. Do you still want to be my servant? Here it is.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is that like the doulos?
Bond slave. Okay, that'd be a slave, bond slave. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? That was people who entered into a covenant. By entering into a covenant, You became the body of the Christ. One flesh, as in marriage. Shall I then take away the members of the Christ and make them members of a harlot? Far be it. By you going back to the world, that's exactly what you're doing. You know, if I marry Christ, that's my mate. If I do what he doesn't want me to do, then I'm a harlot. Know you not that he that joined himself unto the harlot is one body? For saith he, the two shall become one flesh, but he that joined himself unto Yahweh is one ruach. Flee fornication, and so this is actually talking about actual fornication. Every sin whatsoever a man shall commit is outside the body, but he that committeth fornication bringeth sin into his own body. Or know you not that your body is a shrine, or do you bear the holy ruach that is within you, which you have from Yahweh? And you are not your own. It's real simple. When you enter into a covenant with Christ, you are not your own. You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. And what did he pay? If you ever watched the Passion movie, you're going to see what price he paid for us by being tortured for Isaiah, for myself, for Melania. He was tortured and beat to death for that. And so then that, as a covenant, is I'm in debt, right?
Yeah. Right.
I owe this person my life. I would not be alive today without this person. So guess what? I'm going to go to battle for this person at all times.
Yeah,
like the movie.
And if you don't like me by doing, if you don't like me, this is the word, the covenant. Guy Ritchie, the covenant, the movie. But if you don't like what I'm doing, adios, because this is my master. But most Christians, you can't even know they are Christians. So if you go into a church parking lot and just look at their car, they weren't even having God We Trust on their license plate. You know, let alone a bumper sticker that has a scripture or any. Well, I don't have to do that. Yes, you do. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to get ahead of myself. If you're ashamed of Christ by not manifesting Christ, then what's Christ say about you when you meet him? He'll be ashamed of you. So as long as that's okay. You know, if I don't have a picture, if the world doesn't know I am sold out for Christ and Yahweh, if they don't know that, then why not? Right. You know, if they don't know, if your friends don't know you're a Christian, absolute Christian, why not? Because you haven't told them. You haven't manifested it. You haven't made the stance. It's like a person to say, when you go to your friends, do you go like this? Take off your wedding ring. Hi, everybody. I thought it would be a good idea is if when a person became a Christian, they got a stamp on their arm, like the Jews. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here is Yahweh right there. Guess what? When you walk in any place, everybody knows you're a Christian. Yeah. That would be great. And then we're going to see signs of a covenant. That means I'm in a covenant relationship. But people today, there is no manifestation of it. And so you don't know, and many times people who are supposed to be Christians, they say they're Christians, but you would never know it. And there's one saying too, is if you were arrested for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you?
Yeah.
So if somebody came into your house and raided your room, police, right. Is he a Christian or not? Let me see what he's got. I can see what he's got on the wall. Yeah. Let me see what books he has. Let me look at his phone. What things does he go to? His TV channel. What things does he go to? Wait, oh, this guy's not a Christian. You know, he's got a Bible, but it's never been opened. You know, he has nothing about Christ anywhere in his room, or Yahweh anywhere in his room. He doesn't have Christ on his vehicle. Okay, we don't have nothing for you. We don't think you are a Christian. Ah, good. And that's the end of this, 26 or 20. For you have been bought with a price, therefore I glorify Yahweh in your body. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. Now, we have to see the covenant. And so most people say, well, I'm going to enter a covenant because I'm not even used to a covenant. The only thing people know a covenant is, I think, is marriage. And even in that, you know, the Christians, 50% of them don't.
Or private clubs.
Yeah, but it's not a lifetime covenant.
No. You know?
So, no, I'm talking about a binding covenant agreement. And most marriages are not covenants, actually. 50% of them end up in divorce. Now, they may gain a covenant, so you can break the covenant. If one partner in your covenant breaks the covenant, like you're going to see here, Yahweh, you're divorced, which is fine. Let's see, I got that. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant with man, with entering in to become a Hebrew. So if you wanted to become a Hebrew, you got circumcised. And if you did not get circumcised, no covenant.
No lion either.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, Nazarene were a manifestation of a covenant, right? How do you know that there was a Nazarene?
They cut their hair.
And?
They didn't drink anything from the vine.
Yeah, nothing from the grape.
They didn't touch anything dead.
Yeah.
Carcasses.
And so you're looking at that. Okay, that shows me. I thought Amish is a good example. So most people can see a person dressed as Amish and know they're not going to be going into Walgreens and buying a Playboy magazine.
Right.
Otherwise, the person at the counter would be shocked.
Yeah.
Because you're Amish.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so most people just take off their gear so I can go ahead and do things. And so nobody says, I'm shocked. If I have this on and I go into a strip club, it's going to make people very uncomfortable. And also, they would say, what the heck are you doing here? Get out of here. This isn't for Christians. But if I don't have that and nothing's on my car, then I can go right into a strip club, like taking off my wedding ring, and everybody goes, come on, let's get drunk. Let's, you know, and have fun. See? And that's what people are doing. They're actually closet Christians. It's just a good illustration. Another example was Daniel. How do they know he was a Hebrew?
He's praying.
Well, they're not going to pull down his pants and see if he's circumcised. Yeah, he's praying 3 days, regardless. And if he says, you can't pray, no, I pray. Look at the
Three
times a day. That was Daniel. So there's a person. And did it get him in trouble?
Sure.
Yes, it did get him in trouble.
Yes,
it is. Now, is he going to change his way of behavior? No, he's not going to change his way of behavior. You know, I had people that, if you put a Christ bumper sticker on your car, they said, well, my car might get keyed. Well, that would be fine, because that means I'm suffering for Christ's sake. Right, I'm going to be a rewarder for that. Now, I did have that one time, and all of a sudden they keyed my car, and they grabbed the antenna when they had antennas and bent it all up. I'm good with that. If that's why you did it, because of bumper stickers, I don't know how else you would have done that. But now we're going to talk about covenants. And covenant is the word bereath. And we're going to look at cutting a covenant. And that's called karat. So, let's go into first usage of karat. It's cutting. And we know what the circumcision is, cutting. And with a covenant, its blood is being drawn. Circumcision, the foreskin is cut, blood is drawn, you have entered into a covenant.
How do you spell bereath?
Yeah, B-R-I-T-H. Let's see here. So let's go to Genesis 9:11. We have to be informed of covenants, which I think we're lacking quite a bit. There's a lot of families in other nations. I think Italian families, Spanish families, who are in a covenant, and because they're family, and so their mother lives with them, their grandmother lives with them.
Especially Spanish.
And so you go into this particular deal, it's your duty.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of what we do. We're family. 9:11. Yea, I will establish my covenant with you, so that all flesh shall not be cut off any more by reason of the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more to destroy the earth. Establish, the word establish is the word cut. Karoth. Cut my covenant with you. And so we're going to see, it's never usually ever said the word cut in the translations, even in Rotherham. That's the first usage of Korah. The number is 3772. Now we're going to see divorce is tied into this same word. And so you have a marriage, and when you divorce, you cut the covenant. And the word is translated divorce, which is number 3748. It is a little more different. It's karituth. Karituth. K-E-R-I-T-U-T. And the first usage is 24:1, Deuteronomy. And that's what I was talking about. Elijah, he's going to a university and has a dorm room for people. Now, they should be able to come into this dorm room and automatically say what?
He's a Christian.
You're a Christian. Why? You have pictures here. You have Bibles here. You have scriptures on your wall. If a person wants to sin, do they want to come into that room? Mm-hmm. No. They feel uncomfortable. It's like if the demons are uncomfortable around you, good.
Yeah.
If they're not uncomfortable around you, bad. Mm-hmm. Bad. Deuteronomy 24:1. When a man taketh a woman...
Hold on.
What? Page 222.
When a man taketh a woman and marrieth her, then shall it be... If she finds not favor in his eyes, because he hath found in her some matter of shame, that he shall write a scroll of divorcement. That's the word, same as cut. It comes from the same word.
Karith?
Yeah. Karat, and this is karituth. Karituth.
It's not fair.
Now we're going to look at cutting the covenant. Now we're going to put two things together. It's in Genesis 15:18. And why are we doing this? Because this is what all Christians have supposedly entered into. Whether they realize it or not. And I can see with young children, you know, they don't know, you know, so they're following their parents. And so if I have a child who's 10 years old, 12 years old, 8 years old, they're going to accept Christ because their parents do. And the parents tell them to do that. That's fine. But at some particular time, they're going to get old enough where they're voluntarily going to enter into that covenant. Because you can't do it for my parents' sake. I did it because, isn't everybody Christian? I go to church because I've always gone to church. That is not a person who's deliberately cut a covenant with Christ and say, guess what? I'm going to marry you and be faithful to you as my master. So women, easy to say married. That man, that's kind of sick. A man marrying Christ, you know, but it's the same principle. I'm making a covenant with you that you are my master. So 15:18, Genesis 15:18. Let's see here. In that day did Yahweh solemnize, that is the word cut, karuth. Cut with Auburn a covenant, saying, and it goes on there, remember he split the animal so there was blood involved, everything else, that we're making a covenant.
Somewhere over here and somewhere over there.
Then, you know, the verses were coming down, they stopped, and then he gave them a vision. You're gonna have heirs as the sand of the sea. That's cut the covenant. We also go into Genesis 17:14 is voiding the covenant. So we got to realize too, in Christian marriages, we have vows that are just not vows at all. It's they're sick. Yeah. You know, I take this man to be my husband, to cherish, to love and to cherish, to deathness, you know, to sickness or deathness, to death do us part. And you know, no, you don't ever vow that. And Yahweh doesn't want you to vow that, because what you said until death do us part is you made a vow and you're making a covenant that is not biblical at all. Because if this person decides to break the covenant by fornication or adultery, bank robbery, murder, by, you know, all the different things that break in the word, you are not bound to stay with this person. And Yahweh cut the covenant with his people too. He divorced them. And divorce is just fine if you break the covenant. You know, it's real simple. In marriage, just here, vow, I'm going to do what this book says. And when I'm not going to be a drunk. I'm not going to be a sodomite. I'm not going to, you know, commit adultery. I'm not going to be an extortioner. I'm not going to steal. I'm going to work. You know, on and on and on. You know, but if a person gets into a point and they think, well, now I can freeload because I'm married. So I don't have to do these things anymore. And so I'm not going to work. I'm going to get drunk. No, you didn't enslave that person, that covenant. So then that person, you have witnesses come through and say, they have broken their covenant. Do you admit that? And the person, are you gonna repent? And they say, no, I'm not gonna repent. Then you're free because you have broken this covenant. The person who's saying is not free. They cannot ever marry again. They've got to be single. But the other person is free to marry. Which that's not right, but that's his. So we saw 17:14, and this is what the word says. And as for the uncircumcised male, by not entering the covenant by circumcision, who shall not be circumcised, and you know, so this is just real simple. So here is Billy Graham, and here's the convention, and repent, sinners, come to Christ. And if you're committing fornication, you have to stop permanently. If you're willing to permanently stop, come forward. Well, I'm not permanently willing to stop. I got a girlfriend at home, or I got a boyfriend at home, and we've got kids from multiple situations. And so they're not putting any conditions on this. And so in this, if you're not going to get circumcised, what? No covenant. That's what it says here. Shall not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be what? Cut off. Cut off from among his people. My covenant hath he made what?
Void.
Wow. Void the covenant. And entering into a covenant. We go to Exodus 24. Now here's Moses, been on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. He comes down with, here's the law. And it was all the last couple chapters of what's required. And he's going to say, are you going to obey this? So this is the preface.
What verse?
24:6. Then took Moses half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood dashed you over the altar. Then took he the book of the covenant and read in the ears of the people. This is, should be done at any place where you're offering salvation to a group. You read from the book. And then the response is, and they said, all that Yahweh has spoken will we do and will hearken. Okay, people, you're not going to murder. You're not going to fornicate. You're not going to steal.
Covet your neighbor's
You're
goods.
You're not going to covet thy neighbor's goods. You're going to love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Are you willing to commit to that? Right? And you're going to get half the people who aren't going to commit to that, and they're not going to come forward. Well, that's going to really lessen the people who come to this altar. I want a lot of people to come to the altar.
We need numbers.
Yeah,
we want numbers here, man.
Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah, 6 and 8. So there's Moses. I'm going to read 7 again. Then took he the book of the covenant and read it in the ears of the people. And they said, all that Yahweh has spoken will we do and will hearken. Then Moses took the blood and dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant with Yahweh hath cut, solemnized, with you over all these words. So that word cut, karath, is in chapter 21, verse 27, verse 32, let's see, 26, chapter 26, verse 28, chapter 31, verse 44, chapter 23, verse 32, Genesis 9:11, chapter 17, verse 14. So here's all the same place where the word is never going to be cut, a cut of covenant, but that's what it is. But that was it. Do you agree? Yes, that's what a covenant is. And then he sprinkles the blood, and that's blood, the ratification of the covenant. So we go to 34:10 of Exodus. And this is all going to come back to reality of us today. Let's see here.
19.
And he said, "Lo, I'm about to solemnize or cut a covenant in the presence of all thy people, or will I do marvelous things." This is Yahweh promising. If you cut this covenant with me, Yahweh says, "Will I do marvelous things which have not been created in any part of the earth?" Well, this is the upside. This is it.
Yeah,
I'm going to get Yahweh as my Father and Christ as my brother and Lord, and they're going to be my protectors and give me information which have not in this been created in any part of the earth, nor among any of the nations. So all the people in whose midst thou art see the work of Yahweh, for a fearful thing it is which I am doing with thee. So this was Moses in the first year of coming out. They haven't gone through the wilderness yet. You know, this is only year one. So what Yahweh is saying is manna is going to come down from heaven, water is going to come out of the rock, quail are going to fly in, your clothes aren't going to decay, you know, on and on and on. And what he's pretending, this is what's going to happen if you stay with me.
And you go do your part of the covenant.
Yeah, you enter into the covenant. Now we go to 27 and 28, same chapter. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Write for thyself these words, for according to the tenor of these words have I cut, solemnized with thee a covenant, and with Israel. And so he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights, bread did he not eat, and water did he not drink, and he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 words. All the rest of the book of Exodus is the Ark of the Testimony. But here's the 10 words, the covenant. And so we have to, the Ark of the Testimony is a whole other teaching I'm still working on. Now we're going to look at breaking a covenant. And so that's why it's not till death. I mean, it looks like that with Yahushua about marriage. You cannot get divorced. In one place, it says you can't divorce, you can't cut. Well, another place, except for adultery. But as we know, there's so many other sins that can happen, which can, you know, if a husband was beating his wife, well, obviously you can't stay there. If a husband was beating the children, you can't do that. If a husband, because the rest of the word says, don't even eat with this individual. And so they have broken their covenant, and you can be able to be released from them. But here's breaking the covenant. Leviticus 26:14. And that's kind of thing. Like with, you know, you're young. If your friends don't know that you're a holy person who have entered into a covenant with Yahweh and Yahushua, you have hidden it from them. That's all there is to it. You've hidden it from them, and you're ashamed of it. And you have to say, God, do my friends know? I mean, if I was at work and I took off my wedding ring and I worked at Boeing or Spirit, people would assume that I'm not married.
Right.
Yeah. And why? Because I want them to know that. I don't want them to know I'm married. So then I can flirt with girls, all sorts of stuff. Now they would see a place where it used to be a band, but that's no different than if your friends don't know you're a devout Christian, then you're ashamed, you're hiding it. And guess who knows you're hiding it?
Yahweh
and Christ. They're right in the room. You know, people aren't about ready to eat. They're not going to pray. What do you do?
Pray.
We're going to pray. All right. Oh, this is exactly what they want to do. Well, this guy, by praying, you're showing you're a Christian. So if you're in a restaurant, You pray. Yeah, that's all there is to it. You let the whole restaurant know that you're Christians by praying.
Right.
And that is honors him, and it's going to give other people confidence to do the same thing.
Or being a witness.
Yes, yeah, it's witnessing, yeah, you know, Ark of the Testimony. Okay, Leviticus 26:14-17. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if my statutes you refuse, and my regulations your soul shall abhor, so that you will not do all my commandments, but shall break my covenant. So you're breaking the covenant. I also will do this unto you. I will set over you for terror, consumption, and fever, causing the eyes to fail and the soul to pine away, and you shall sow in vain your seed, for it will be eaten by your foes, and I will set my face against you, and you shall be spent before your foes. This is the covenant. If you do it, I'm your protector.
Marvelous thing.
Yeah, if you, now he's not going to physically do that, but guess what? The hand of Yahweh is going to be away from you of protection. And it should be. Now we go to the bill of divorcement of Yahweh divorcing Israel. Jeremiah 3, verse 8. Yahweh is a husband. And that's why I think it would be a good analogy of marrying Christ, who is Yahweh's representative. He says, he's in charge now. 3:8.
Three, did you say?
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 8. Mm-hmm. Though she saw that, and it's talking about Samaria, Israel, though she saw that for all this apostasy, Israel having committed adultery. How did Israel commit adultery? Well, it doesn't have to be physical adultery. It is breaking the covenant that Yahweh gave. And so, if you're going off with other gods, you just broke the covenant. It'd be no different than a husband and wife, a man going after a different woman, and he wants his wife too. No, you just broke the covenant. I have sent her away and have given her a scroll of divorcement unto her. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but she also went and committed unchastity. So Judah at one time was also divorced and went off, you know, by the, you know, into Babylon and different places. That is divorcement. And we're going to see also, well, in Christians, we can't have that. Yes, you can. So be real simple. If you are unchaste, you know, once saved, always saved, you got to realize, did you break the covenant? Are you breaking the covenant? Now, you'll always have, what I can see, you always have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a free gift. So you get that. But if you decide, and this is 2 Peter, we're not going to go there, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, it's about a dog going back to their vomit, a sow going back after she is lost. It is better that you have not known the Scriptures than to know them and gone back to your ways. And so all it says is, if you don't want to live under Christ, so be it. You don't have to. You're not going to hell. You're going to be thrown in the lake of fire after you've been judged and your restitution was given out to the things that you did to hurt other people. So there's always a real simple situation in other teachings. But there is a judgment. That's why we have a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The just is going to be rewarded. And but also, they can have different things where they did not restore somebody. So if I stole $10,000 from a person as a Christian and never repaid it, all right, I never tried to repay it. I said, but I'm forgiven. Let's say $100,000. But I'm forgiven because I said I'm sorry. But I'm forgiven. I don't have the resources to do that. Guess what? That's not fair to the other person. What are they supposed to do?
It's Uriah the Hittite with David.
Yeah, and so real simple, in my opinion, that once they are resurrected, believers and unbelievers, you're going to pay back that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is, so the person you have stolen from can get resolution. And if you have to work for that person for 100 years, 1,000 years on the new earth, it's like nothing. If you have to work for that person 100 years to pay back that debt, that's what's right. And if
you are
a believer, you should be happy to do it.
Want to, yeah.
Instead of a penalty, no, I owe it.
Yeah, King David wants
it. If you don't want it, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So I really have to say, well, I don't want to have to pay the $100,000. Why? Then where's your heart? Who are you? Now, the unbeliever who will never bow to Christ, obviously, you can choose not to bow to Christ. You don't have to. You're going to bow, but you're going to pay for your restitution, and then you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire, and you're going to die. That's it. You're gone. Another teaching altogether. Now we go to, and also there's another bill of divorce, but we won't go there, to Isaiah 50, verse 1. Now we're going to go to the new covenant, 1 Corinthians 11. We have a new covenant. This is the Abrahamic covenant, which was circumcision. Abrahamic, 1 Corinthians 11. And when you look at this, when you take communion, you're actually reliving the covenant. Now think of that, because it's the blood and the body of Christ. That you were redeemed with the body and blood of Christ. So you're reaffirming the commitment of your life that I'm going to live for this person. Let's look at 11. 11 verse 23. For I myself received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, how that the Lord Yahushua, in the night in which he was being delivered up, took a loaf, and giving thanks, brake it, and said, this is my body which is for you. This is him, us entering into the covenant. So he's doing like a covenant right now with his disciples. This do you in remembrance of me. In the same manner, the cup also, after they had taken supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do you as soever as you may be drinking it in remembrance of me. It's a validation of the covenant. For as often as you may be eating this loaf and the cup may be drinking, and so this is every meal, we're actually cutting the covenant with our Lord. For as often as you be eating this loaf and the cup may be drinking, the death of the Lord do you announce until he come. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
So that whosoever may be eating the loaf or drinking the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be responsible for the body and blood of the Lord. Well, that's just not fair. That's just not Christian. I mean, because now we have free everything in the new doctrines today. And we'll go there. So we're looking at the marriage is that we're the body of the Christ, which is 1 Corinthians 12. One page over, verse 27. Now ye are the body of the Christ, or the Messiah, the Mashiach, and members severally. Now we are the body of the Christ. That is a manifestation of the covenant. We have married Christ by being part of his body. Now we go to Ephesians 3, 6, chapter 3, verse 6. It establishes. This is the nations. This is the non-Hebrews. And the word Hebrew is actually Ibri, non-Ibri. That they who are the nations should be joint heirs and joint bodies. There's the same, the one body. And joint partakers of the promise in Christ Yahushua through means of the glad message of which I am made a minister according to the free gift of the favor of Yahweh, which was given unto me according to the energy of his power. Now we go to Ephesians 5:22. Ye wives unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, that's 21. submit yourselves one to another in the reverence of Christ. And so here's our requirements of this covenant. You wives unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, because a husband is the head of his wife, as the Christ also is what?
Head
of the assembly. So that is our covenant, the body of Christ. He being the head means what? I am not the head. So where do all the instructions come? From the head. Mm-hmm. He being the Savior of the body. Nevertheless, as the assembly submitted herself unto the Christ. All right, and that's submitting unto Christ. You want to come forward with receive salvation, be life, age, abiding, then you're going to submit to this book.
That is the head.
Are you willing to submit to this book? And it's real simple. And well, what does it say? Let's read it. I'm going to show you what you're agreeing to. And now if you read it and you say, yes, I want to enter into that covenant, amen. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to show you, here's the upside, here's the downside. 24, nevertheless, as the assembly submitted herself unto the Christ, so the wives unto the husband in everything. You husband, be loving your wife, even as the Christ also loved the assembly and delivered himself up in her behalf, that her he might sanctify, and that he set apart, having purified her with the bath of water and decoration, the word, that he might present unto himself the assembly all glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy. And that's our commitment, that's our covenant, that you be holy, that means separate.
And blameless.
And blameless. So people can say, you're not of this world.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Your mouth doesn't cuss. You know, and so if people are feel comfortable with you, around you cussing, then you got a problem. Then you're a hidden Christian. Because when a person, you know, they know you're a Christian, they're going to hold their mouth. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. Right. And that's for their good too. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 5. And let alone it should come out of your mouth, the cussing, like a drunken sailor. So, you know, this is really what it comes down to. This is everything that when a person wants to be receive salvation, there's just one verse you can show them. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all did what?
Die.
Who did he die for?
Us.
We're going to see that. Hence they all died. And in behalf of all, died he. So that's what he did to do the covenant. The blood was drawn, the cutting of the covenant. In order that, why did he die, Melania?
They who live.
In order that they who live, go ahead.
No longer for themselves should live.
Wow. I mean, there it is right there. Wow, is that what I'm entering into? I like to be chief head. Well, you're not going to. That's what you're giving up. Christ is going to be the head. You want to do that? And so even you can say, do I want to do that? So this is all, you know, he's 17, Melania's 17, you get to realize, this is what you're entering into. No longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. That's Egyro, rose again. Now, well, that's great. Now, there's one thing he's going to warn you about. Luke 9:26. Okay, here's what to expect. Are you willing to do this? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, that means take off your wedding ring, the Son of Man will be ashamed, whensoever he shall come in his glory, and now the Father and of his holy messengers. God, how would you like for Christ to come back? And he says, Isaiah, why don't you just go over here? I want to talk to this crowd. because you're ashamed of him. Now, why would I treat you like everybody else? If you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to say, I deserve that. I deserve that because I was ashamed of Christ. I didn't manifest Christ in my life. And we go to James 4:4. Let's just go to John instead. Let's go to John first. John 15:18. Well, I'm not ashamed of Christ. Prove it.
Pardon me.
Well, I don't have to prove anything. So most people will say that because I don't want to identify myself as a Christian. And so I say, I don't have to prove it. I remember Joyce Myers was talking about that, but you don't have to put Christian bumper stickers on because just the way you drive in your life should show you that you're a Christian. Hogwash. It's absolutely hogwash. All right. You mean showing a person a scripture? If you have a scripture on your shirt or on your car, it might be the only time a person has ever read a scripture in the world, right? It's because you have it on there. And that might instigate them. But James 15:18-19. If the world is hating you, well, I don't like that. You are getting to know that me before you, it hateth. It hath hated. And if the world you have been, the world of its own hath been fallen. So if you're of the world, they like you. But because of the world, you are not. On the contrary, I choose you out of the world. Therefore, the world does what?
Hates you.
Ow! This is what you're entering into. This is it. And you go to James, end up with James 4:4. You mean I'm not going to have as many friends? Absolutely.
But the quality goes up.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and you could have a lot of friends if you're. And we're in a Christian country, so you should have tons. But if you're in a Muslim country or any place else, no. So, kind of a blessing. We're not in a Muslim country. James 4:4. Adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity to God? Whosoever therefore is minded to be a friend of the world. Look at that. An enemy of God does constitute himself. Wow. I mean, that says it all. So, I wish Christians could wear one symbol. Worldwide, choose a symbol that men and women could all wear. You know, maybe it'd be a ring on the middle finger, and it's going to be a red stone, or it's going to be something that everybody could agree with and let the whole world know who are Christians and who are not. Who's willing to put the ring on and who is not. Just like a wedding ring. Now we're going to hear from our Father with a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. Be bold and be caring and be kind as my son was to you, you be also to others. Know that I abide within you. I come to you every day, every moment, every breath that you had in order to enrich you, in order to bring you on forward to become mature as my sons and daughters, in order to reap the harvest of great blessings that I have for you as you walk righteously and accordingly to my word. Amen. See you next week.
I wanted